This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Welcome to the Hotel Hell. Check-in time is now, check-out time is never.
It's Mike Shope.
Does my room have cable?
No. And the sheets are made of fire.
Can I change rooms?
Sorry, we're all booked up. Hell convention in town.
And the Bulldog.
Can I have a late checkout?
I'll have to talk to the manager.
You're not the manager, even in your own fantasy?
I'm the owner. The co-owner. With Satan.
It's Mike Shope.
Okay. Just... so I understand that in your wildest fantasy, you are in hell, and you are co-running a bed and breakfast with the devil.
And the Bulldog.
Yeah, but I haven't told you my salary yet.
Go.
$80,000 a year.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
When was the last time you thought about, as we've called it in the past, the quarterback carousel? Like, at the present time.
Every day.
Every day. I think about it every day.
Yeah.
Do you think you would do well?
No.
Trying to predict what teams are going to do? I'm really having a tough time this year.
Yeah. I don't know how seriously to take Aaron Rodgers staying in New York to quarterback the Giants instead of the Jets, for example. Like, to me, I just think that sounds like a crazy thing to do. But, you know, the owner might be breathing down their necks. Man, if I'm Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and I've got a stay of execution for all intents and purposes, like, they could have been fired this year, but they're going to keep going. That's my move. Like, that just seems really risky, you know. I don't know. Maybe Rodgers, the experience with the Jets, maybe he doesn't have to bring Alan Lazard and Bakhtiari and everything. He never got to the Jets, but he doesn't get to bring the whole posse with him because, you know, he hasn't earned that anymore. And so a team can avoid the caravan, maybe. But, like, that's my starting point.
But it would be Adams, though, it seems.
On the Giants?
Wherever he goes. It sounds like Adams will go wherever Rodgers goes.
I got you. Yeah.
So maybe it won't be Randall Cobb anymore, but it'll be Devontae Adams.
Right. So, like, that, I'm struggling with that. Kirk Cousins. Are the Falcons really going to hang on to Kirk Cousins as a $30 million backup? Maybe.
They'd rather not.
Right. So... I don't know. Where in the world does he go? I mean, I've mentioned him as a Jet possibility before. I just think that would be hilarious if the Jets did that. But
That's the thing.
I'm having a very hard time placing guys. I just don't think there's... with Stafford not, like, Stafford moving would have been exciting because then, like, oh, he's talking to the, okay, well, he's going to the Giants. Darnold goes to the Rams, and, like, that you could feel pretty certain about. But now that he's staying in L.A., I don't know where the landing spot is for Darnold. And it's just everything. I just don't have – I'm not dug in on anything, really, with the quarterbacks, where they're going to go.
Well, it's hard. I guess I want to take the Giants-Rodgers idea seriously because, like, as soon as Stafford announced, there was the next report, like, they're going to move over to Aaron Rodgers. Always the number one thing is what? What are the incentives? What are the team incentives? This is where I think the Browns are different, and I've had arguments about this, than the Giants. You said already, the Giants have to pick the player they think can win them the most games this year, which is a terrible spot to be.
Mm-hmm.
You're drafting third, right? I mean, you should want to draft a quarterback if you can, and you might have a chance to do that. Not definite. It's not the best year for it either. But I think because of the status of the coach and GM, like, how do we win 9-10 games this year so we get to stay? And that's not great.
Right. If your draft idea is reaching for a guy that doesn't deserve to be drafted where he's getting drafted, like, you're not going to get your hands on the top guy. And
you could.
If you move, sure.
If you move, right?
I feel like the Browns or the Titans, somebody's going to trade. Yeah, maybe you could. Either way, all I'm saying is if the first quarterback's gone, you're not taking the second one at three, probably, that's our move. I don't know. I mean, you could. I might rather do that than sign Aaron Rodgers myself, but what does the owner want? You know, like, where are we? What's the urgency? Because you draft a guy there, even if you know, if it's a reach or not, you're okay. I got a year to work with him, and then there's year two. And I don't know if they have that kind of patience in mind with those guys there. So they might not have the time to draft a guy, which is all the more reason why you move on.
From your coach
and your GM. Yeah. If you don't want them to draft a guy and give them that time, then what are you doing?
Well, who knows what they're planning to do or what they thought maybe they could do with Stafford. That would have been live. So, yeah, like, what is their incentive? I think it's short term. And where does that leave the Giants, Rodgers, Cousins? It's all pretty hilarious. It's all, which of these ideas would you expect to work? Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson. So the Jets, it's so funny that it's the Giants and the Jets again.
Mm.
They're both nowhere. And the Jets have this too. They just don't draft as high, but they already had Rodgers. If they get Cousins, that's the same thing as having had Rodgers without the politics. You know, you're getting a guy off an Achilles. Okay. It's just sort of almost a poor man's version of it.
They're on to their fourth, since Allen and Darnold were drafted, they're on to like their fourth new idea. It's incredible.
Darnold doesn't work. He already played there. Like, you're not getting him,
mm-hmm.
I think. That would be weird.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones is a name. This is the Giants first. Like, they're not getting him. They wouldn't want him. He might be better than anybody else on this list except for Darnold. Honestly. I mean, rank these guys. Darnold, Russell Wilson, Fields, and we're not even done. Like, Pittsburgh's going to need to do something, and Tennessee will need to do something, probably, and Vegas, and maybe Indianapolis wants to do something. Darnold, Russell Wilson, Fields, Jameis Winston, Daniel Jones, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Tyrod Taylor. Who's the second best guy? If Darnold has to be, does Darnold have to be the best? That's even weird.
Probably. I don't like a big commitment to him. I think he'll get it because of, the names we're talking about right now. Like, some team, there's going to be I think there'll be a bidding war for him. As he's in charge of that. I mean, if he wants to create that, I think he can create that. Talk to three teams and let them duke it out for you. I mean, it's kind of incredible. And I'd have a big buyer beware tag on him with a big commitment anyway.
Sure.
But he's easily the best guy on the list.
Kind of, yeah.
Which really says a lot about the list.
Rodgers and Adams, does Adams go back to Vegas? Like, maybe Rodgers with Brady there, that ends up being their move. But what is going to work here? What does Pittsburgh do? What are their options? Fields, Wilson, which they've just done, and the season completely fell apart on them again, right? Another first-round blowout playoff loss. That must be getting old. But instead, I do want to keep mentioning Daniel Jones because he's, like, somehow for me the least laughable of these. Could you? But, you know, having said that, imagine Filippone. I don't know what his his feelings are about Daniel Jones, but what are anybody's?
Oh, God.
What are anybody's?
Come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like,
come on.
What idea here do you take seriously for any of these teams?
I think the optics of...
What's the funniest? That's what we should do.
The funniest is Rodgers goes to the Giants and Daniel Jones goes to the Jets. Right now, off the top of my head, that is the most hilarious outcome that you could possibly wish for.
Yeah, basically they just switched teams.
Right.
Jones was in Minnesota.
But he was on the Giants to start last year.
Yes.
So he was there for all, going on, not all of the 2 years of Rodgers. And Rodgers was barely there for the 2 years. He missed all of the year before. Anyway, that it would just be hilarious. I can imagine they still make newspapers, the back pages. Like, it would be a field day.
They might play
pretty incredible if those two changed spots like that.
They don't play. That's the division where that's the extra game. Like the Bills play the Eagles.
Yeah.
But the Jets play Dallas. Those teams finished third. The Jets did not finish last somehow. New England plays the Giants. Anyway, so Pittsburgh's got to come up with something here. The Giants and the Jets have to come up with something here. Vegas has to come up with something here. Maybe Cleveland drafts Cam Ward. Maybe Tennessee does. And Cleveland drafts Sanders. And they just kind of do that. And they cross their fingers. At least, like, that happens. That's plausible. Your team finished with the worst record in the league, and you drafted a quarterback at the top of the draft. Okay, that's what we're supposed to do. Travis Hunter seems really fun. Carter might be really good. That's what we're supposed to do. So that's sort of a plausible plan of attack. Otherwise,
right? Trey Lance. Welcome to the party, Trey Lance.
Are there maybe? I think I'm probably forgetting up to five names of quarterbacks that I've thought of for this exercise before. Like Trubisky would be one. Somebody that.
Mm-hmm.
How much worse are you doing with him than an ancient Rodgers? Cousins broken down, couldn't move. But yet, like, somebody's going to want to do that? What options do they even have?
Is Taylor Heineke one of these people you haven't thought of? He's on this list.
Minshew.
Zach Wilson is on this list. Drew Lock is there if you want him. I mean, Mac Jones, everybody.
Mac Jones isn't bad.
I saw Carson Wentz's name mentioned. He's on the list here. He's a free agent. I don't know what team he was attached to. Or maybe it was just quarterback needy teams are calling on Carson Wentz.
Oh, I saw something too. You're right.
What?
He's a free agent?
Yes.
He was with the Chiefs.
Mason Rudolph. I mean, you've got, Josh Dobbs is still out there.
The Pastronaut.
Right. Nick Mullins.
Nick Mullins. I was about to say Nick Mullins.
Holy moly, what a list.
Really tough times for a half a dozen or so teams. Like, if we're the Giants, what do we want? They didn't make the coaching change. What do we want? Rodgers would make us insane.
Yes.
Fields, I know what you're going to say. Like, Fields is not believable.
He's not
for
any
you.
Good. He's not he's any good.
I think, people tell themselves a story when it comes to Fields.
Right.
Highly rated, still young.
On this list, he's credible as an idea because the list is so crappy. Like, I walk onto the lot and I'm looking to buy something. You might talk me into Justin Fields because everything else is scratched and dented and like there's steam coming out of the radiator. So what am I doing? So at least him, it'd be like, well, the right coaching, like something. You could talk yourself into it because there has always been. There's a reason guys get chances. I mean, there's been high-end talent. Both, of course, running and even throwing. It's just not on display on a consistent enough basis for me to trust that he's going to be good. But it's possible he puts it all together somewhere. That's the bet you'd be making. And on this list, he's not the most laughable. There's a lot more guys on here that I'd laugh harder at, for sure, than Justin Fields. I don't think it's going to work. But,
Russell Wilson? Can you sell that? Could the Raiders can't even say it. Hayden Winks, a really sharp guy from Underdog, and I might have thought this before, but he tweeted it, that Jones to Indianapolis is, that makes sense. Indianapolis is tough because they have Richardson, who's only 2 years in and very athletic. You know, there's still some hope for Richardson, but he completed like half his passes or something abysmal. So they'd want, and this is how they've been talking, they'd want a veteran backup to compete with him. But they kind of just had that. I don't know if Flacco ever competed with him, but he replaced him.
Yeah.
And I think this time you'd want somebody better than Joe Flacco, which isn't saying nothing. I mean, he was a Super Bowl MVP in his day. You'd want somebody better than that to accomplish what you want to accomplish, but not somebody who would have to start.
Mm-hmm.
Like Darnold doesn't work because Darnold would have to start, right? If they did that?
Yes.
So
yes. And, and style-wise, like Daniel Jones is not the runner that Richardson can be, but he can run. You at least could have them competing on a somewhat level, like same offense. Like Flacco is a whole different team. You're putting on the field if he's your quarterback versus Richardson from a athleticism standpoint. Again, Jones, I know he fell in the open field on that run 3 years ago and it was hilarious and we all laughed. But yeah,
but it was kind of like a 90-yard run.
Yeah, but he can run. Yeah, right. He did run away from a bunch of people and then tripped. So that's how it goes sometimes. But he, like, style-wise, that makes sense to me, too.
You kind of have to do, some of these teams might have to do two things, like the Steelers did with Wilson and Fields, where one guy alone, you can't sign Daniel Jones, Raiders, for example, and stand there and talk about, like, you're excited about your future.
He's our quarterback. Right.
You can't do that. So you'd have to have someone else. Maybe a key to this is that second tier of rookie quarterbacks, like Dart, where somebody, the Raiders again, say, sign a veteran and draft Milroe in the second round, something like that, or Dart, whoever it is,
yep.
The Syracuse kid. Maybe it doesn't have to be the second round, but somebody else that you can put with the veteran nobody wants. And pass that off as, like, this is, people can't argue, like, this is the best we could do.
This is our, we're going to work on this guy, and next year he'll have a real shot at it.
Having two guys gives you an out, I think, as an organization. If it's one, come on. I mean, you're going to have a backup.
Right. Yeah, I think Cousins, well, Rodgers. Rodgers and Cousins. And then Darnold. And I think I'm done. And it's not to say, I don't think Rodgers or Cousins are good ideas, but they're credible enough. And so Darnold obviously is too, where that's your move, that's your guy, you're having the news conference, he's got the jersey, here's the owner, everybody posed for the pictures, okay, great, we're done. Beyond that, and it's only three guys, there's not another name here that I think represents, here's our starter. Like, you know, that you're going to win the news conference.
What percent chance would you put on Mac Jones starting in week one for somebody? Is it higher than 10%? Maybe, because of all this? Is there any other team that we didn't? Maybe. I mean, apart from an injury, is there any other team that you wonder about who they start? I don't think there is. New Orleans is going to start Carr.
Right.
Seattle, I think, will draft a quarterback fairly early, but they'll start Geno.
Yeah, no. Who's the list is Jets, Raiders, Browns.
Tennessee.
You can put Tennessee there, but they at least, like, it wouldn't be stunning if Levis was their guy to start the year.
No, that's right. If they draft a defensive player at one, you'd assume Levis, and they could add one of these backups.
And then the Giants, that's it, in the NFC.
Then Pittsburgh and Indy, I put.
Right.
Indy will have somebody to compete with Richardson. Right. Pittsburgh
needs a guy, yeah.
It's just interesting and kind of funny how some of these teams, one of the names from column A might be the best name, but they were already on that team. Like, Wilson and Fields is the past for the Steelers.
Right.
Rodgers with the Jets, that's not going to happen. Darnold with the Jets. Daniel Jones with the Giants.
And in a way, even though it's a different team, Wilson and the Raiders is sort of like that because of Pete Carroll in Las Vegas now. It's a little odd. Like, oh, we're going to do that again?
I didn't think of that.
Like, that...
That makes him more or less likely for the Raiders. I think maybe less.
Less, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think he's almost disqualified. Right. That's just my, initial read here is that would be a weird fit.
You're right. You're saying like there's basically the same thing, even though it's a different franchise.
Right.
Wow. Man, this is weird. I mean, yes. There always is movement, but some of it seems like it's kind of pretty easy to figure out and exciting even, but not this time.
Yeah. The bottom line here is, I mean, we've been talking for 20 minutes or more here about this. I don't like anyone for any team anywhere. Ever.
They're all bad ideas.
Only
bad ideas.
Like, usually at this time, they're like, oh, I think this guy will go there. That makes sense. Yeah, I see a fit. This year, it's just, it's not a good idea only in the batch. Ideas. Yeah, only bad ideas.
803-0550, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. We've got the Sabres tonight at Montreal, trying to get them back for Saturday's loss. Pre-game coming up at 6. This is WGR.
I've made an extremely difficult decision. I've been thinking about it for the last 4 or 5 years, and I've decided to retire from Fox. And I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss all the guys, and I'll see them occasionally. It has been a great run starting back 31 years ago.
Jimmy Johnson. I want to say a controversial thing in a minute about him. He's 81.
It's a head of hair.
I think I would have guessed younger, like maybe significantly younger. But it's not so much that he looks younger. I guess how old was he when he took over Dallas? I guess like 35, maybe. So it's, I don't know. This is what happens in life. As you get older, everybody seems, right. You can't believe their age.
Right.
81.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe when I heard his age, I was like, really, that old? And part of it's because, I don't know, he still sounds really, like, you watch that show, like, Terry Bradshaw, what are we doing here? Maybe, like, that should be over. And he's not retiring that I know of, and I don't know how old he is, but holy cow, like, Johnson seems like...
He'd be like 75.
He could be competing in a spelling bee compared to Bradshaw sitting there. Like, Bradshaw just can't get it out anymore. He's very really struggling, and I'm not making fun of him as much as just... observing that on TV, it's tough.
According to Wikipedia, Jimmy Johnson recruited Bradshaw as an assistant coach at Louisiana Tech.
All right.
I didn't know that. He also went to high school with someone very famous from a different genre. You want to try to guess who it is?
A different sport or a different
outside of sports.
Okay. Entertainment field?
Yes. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer.
Oh, boy. What is this, college now?
High school. He's 81.
Black Sabbath guitarist Tony Iommi.
Close.
That can't be right.
How about Janis Joplin?
He's from England. Wow, that's good.
Port Arthur, Texas.
All right.
Jimmy Johnson went to high school with Janis Joplin. All the J's. You had to have JJ initials to get in.
Yeah.
That was the one prerequisite.
And it did track, by the way. I looked up his Wikipedia page. He did start in TV when he left the Cowboys and then went back into coaching. Because we started off the show today.
Yes.
We were both a little confused by 31 years. Like, he was coaching the Dolphins in 99. What are we doing here?
But it wasn't in a row.
Right.
He started 31 years ago, and he took a break to coach Miami.
Right.
He was fun to beat.
Sure was.
When the Bills beat Jimmy Johnson's Dolphins, which they did a few times, not in the playoffs the one time, but that was fun after Shula retired. They ran him out of the sport, the Bills.
Yeah.
They ran off Don Shula. Controversial statement about Jimmy Johnson, and you already kind of did it. As an announcer, an analyst, not terrible.
Yeah.
Never minded him.
Mm-hmm.
Never really watched a lot of those pregame shows or anything, but sometimes you sort of have to. And he never bothered me.
Yep. I agree. Like, I'm not a fan of that show in particular. But yeah, he's certainly. I want to do better than he's not the worst. It makes everyone on those shows is the worst, and that's not what I mean. Yeah, he was. I could watch the show, and when he'd be talking, think like, okay,
right. He was on Survivor. Did you know that?
I don't remember that.
Survivor Nicaragua.
Wow.
In 2010. He was in a tribe of people all 40 and up. He would have been, what, 65, 66 at that time? And he was voted out on day 8. They would have known who he was. Was it all celebrities? Like, Jimmy Johnson is on our Survivor tribe. I don't know. Do I want to vote him out? I think I do. Anyway. He is retiring.
I might not want to go head to head with him in any kind of a game that involves matching wits after, you know, he's responsible for that Herschel Walker trade.
That's right. Just like,
I'm going, get this guy out of here. he might pull one over on me. I don't want to get embarrassed.
Right. 803-0550, Sabres pregame at 6. We're in mock draft number 3 over here.
Oh boy.
I tried to trade for the number 2 pick. All my picks next 2 years, same offer with the Browns. And they give you 5 chances to keep sweetening the offer. So I kept adding picks to the point where it says you have a 99% chance of this trade being accepted, and it still was rejected.
Well, I want to respect them for not letting you do that, but I'm not sure if that makes sense. Because I think almost any team would accept all of that, I think. Wouldn't they?
Almost any team. I think the Browns could. This is irrespective of Garrett.
I mean, especially considering this draft. I mean, we don't know about next year's draft, but like, if you don't think you're getting your quarterback because you just don't like the class and there isn't that much depth, yeah, whatever, fine. Take them all.
And I kind of do think the Browns could get away with punting it. If they didn't like Cam Ward or Sanders, they might not get a choice. One or the other, but if they didn't like their options there, I think they're a team that could get away with punting it. You got to embrace the stench, I believe is how we put it on ADP chasing this morning. Just like they're always bad. And if you draft Cam Ward and you just don't really like him, and you do what? That for 2 or 3 years just to prove a point or something? You can't. We did the list of veterans. Nothing looks good there. Maybe I'll just sort of trade Myles Garrett and draft as many good players as I can and somehow next year get to a point where I get a better idea at quarterback. I'm not sure what Kevin Stefanski's footing is
right
there. He's won Coach of the Year twice, so it's, to me, different than like Dable with the Giants. Boy, although he did win it once.
It would be really unfair, I think, if a guy that was – you know, the decision to make the move for Watson, the draft capital, the contract, I mean, all of it in its entirety, was made above his level. And sure, I mean, he was going to have to try to make it work. And that was always a weird fit, right? Like, wasn't there right from the start just his offense, Watson's skill set, is this going to really work? But if the owner held that against him, with all the baggage that Watson came in there with, man, that would be really tough. So I would think Coach of the Year twice, I think pretty respected offensive mind, but I think the owner should give him the leeway to, like, if we don't get a guy this year, wait until next year, and we'll get it right. Because they're not going to be able to make up all the ground they have to make up in 1 year. I mean, they're gonna eventually have a pile of money, unless they see the Watson contract all the way to the end, which I can't even imagine. There's 2 years and like $90 million or something left on that at this point.
That's really their excuse.
Holy moly! And then you're gonna have some debt with a Garrett move if it comes. Like, you gotta kind of just not just punt a draft, punt the next year, which I think is what you're saying. Like, just give him the time, because. Judging him on this, I mean, the Watson move has crippled the franchise to such an extent that one of the best players in the league wants to leave you now. That's not Stefanski's fault. He's just circumstantially, he's in the middle of it. And he couldn't make Watson work whenever he was healthy for the, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes of his Browns career where he was healthy. It was always the shoulder and then the Achilles and then Achilles again. Oh, my gosh. Then none of that should really stick to him, I don't think, the coach. Now, I'm saying that it won't, but I just don't think it's really fair if it does.
If it does, he'll be hired somewhere else. Yep. I don't know if it'll be in the proverbial 5 minutes after he's fired, but I would think his resume is probably good enough. Sabres and Canadiens tonight. Pre-game coming up in about 20 minutes. The Sabres lost to Montreal on Saturday, so that's two in a row, and that's not allowed. They told us two in a row would not be allowed, unless one was in overtime, which was not the case.
Right.
Would not be allowed. 3-1-1, what is it, four times than win your last three games, or was it five times originally? I think it was five times.
Five times.
28 games. So, yeah, it's going to be tough now, but it already was.
Facts.
Facts. We'll talk to Paul at 6. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Stay tuned. This is WGR. Shout out to my friend Jesse. Saturday, group of us are watching the combine. Gunnar Helm, tight end. Texas? Gunnar Helm?
Mm-hmm.
Starts to run, and Jesse's watching. He's like, he's hurt. But then he finished the run, and he lined up to run a second time. And so those of us watching the combine said, if he's hurt, he's not going to run a second time. Like, what's the point? But he did. He's like, I don't care. I know he's hurt. I saw it.
Right. So he noticed the player. It was like kind of a false start, I guess.
Right. He got hurt on the
first
start.
Attempt, and then he went to slow down, and he turned his right ankle pretty aggressively, it looked like.
Yes. So ends up scoring very badly because of this injury, but I don't know how many people knew he was hurt. And then at night, he tweets a picture of his foot, and it's all gory.
Yeah, it was pretty ghastly, I would have to say.
So will the NFL basically just ignore combine stats?
Yeah, I don't know how soon that'll heal, but there'll be a pro day opportunity here coming up between now and the draft. I don't know if he'll be healthy by then even, but sure, I think that's a guy. I mean, you're going to want to get some look at his measurables, but I don't know. I think you're going to have to forgive the combine, just sort of throw it out. If he did all that on a pretty severely sprained ankle, then you might even like him more for doing it that way and not worry about what the times would have been as much.
Points for toughness.
Right.
Football will give him points
character,
for toughness.
Character, toughness, right.
Didn't complain until he got home and tweeted a picture of his foot.
Sure.
But, right. Just he toughed it out. I would never. I'm out of here.
I didn't. I mean, the pictures of the foot were gross, swollen and black and blue and like whatever. And I know this wasn't like the most egregious version of this sort of thing, but watching him roll that ankle, like it did things to my body. It just made me. I was like,
Here's what'll happen.
Not comfortable right now.
He'll get better. He'll have the pro day. He'll look good, and he'll be the first rookie ever to win Comeback Player of the Year in the NFL.
Oh, there it is.
That's what I see happening. Mm-hmm. Coming back from that ankle injury at the combine.
The combine injury. Yeah,
worked up his draft stock, made a team. And scored 4 touchdowns on 38 receptions to win Comeback Player of the Year. Tight end is kind of interesting this year, if it isn't ever. I mean, we can always pretty much say that about in position. But just with the Bills, like, I'm not even looking at it. Harold
right.
Fannin Jr. is a polarizing prospect, really athletic, out of Bowling Green. Had a tremendous college career production-wise, but not everybody likes him. And, the Bills are probably not going to be drafting a tight end. Is that safe?
I would be surprised if they drafted a tight end, yes. Unless they do something between now and, I don't know, like next week is the ramp up, the tampering period begins next Monday, Wednesday, the market opens. Unless they do something dramatic with Dawson Knox, But no, I wouldn't. I would even expect there was news over the weekend that they did not meet the threshold for a qualifying offer to retain the rights to Quentin Morris. Reading Sal on that, if you didn't see it, like, not a big surprise. They've done this with other players that are sort of in that realm. Like, no, we're gonna pass on the qualifying number to retain his rights is too high. Cooler heads will just, you know, we think we can retain this player for less, and maybe that's the outcome. And if they get that and don't do something with Knox, yeah, I mean, they have a developmental guy in this Davidson on the practice squad.
Zach Davidson,
yeah. So I don't see them doing anything at that position.
Yeah, Knox came to my mind when the season ended. Like, that's a big cap number here, and maybe they're going to have to figure something out. But then McDermott went and just praised him, you know, the next day after they lost in Kansas City. And I remember bringing this up to Sal, and Sal was like, I doubt it because of what the coach just said. I wasn't even really aware of it.
Yeah.
So that would be strange if they made that move. But numbers-wise, I think, you know, you could justify it.
Maybe the more, less dramatic, like, what do I mean when I say dramatic? Releasing the player. Less dramatic, redoing the contract. Lowering the cap number, kicking some of the money down the road. I could definitely see him as a candidate for that between now and next Wednesday, Knox.
And now Allen will get a new deal.
I can't believe he won't. Yeah, I don't know how soon that'll happen. But again, if they want to make as much room as they can, and his redone deal is a part of that, then, you know, maybe we should be on watch for that between now and Wednesday. Next Wednesday, I should say. Make sure.
Next Wednesday is the deadline. 4:00.
Right.
Circle it.
New league year, free agency opens. Monday we'll have, once the legal tampering period begins, the deals will start getting announced. That's been happening the last few years. So there'll be news, I would say, by this time next week.
Yeah, I would think so. The Sabres are in Montreal trying to keep their season alive, basically, at this point. Now they've lost a couple to Carolina and then the same Canadians on Saturday at home. Paul Hamilton will join us at the top of the hour after sports, and we'll set tonight's game up for you then. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.